So thanks, Tim. Thank you, Reggie Bull, for organizing what I think is a very useful workshop to so that, you know, did you measure 2 kilometers?
Yeah.
I wonder why I went there 3 times in 8 years only. But anyway, I think it's very useful that we try to encourage discussions between IQC and Perimeter, especially now that there is significant overlap in goals when it comes to talking about noisy intermediate scale quantum devices. So my talk is about simulating an expanding universe on BristleCone. Of course, I'm exaggerating, but that's apparently common practice in the field. So, so it's okay. Okay. So I want to tell you about the real thing, these quantum computers that they are being built as we speak. BristleCone is an example. There is a picture on the web, so I guess it's okay to talk about this quantum computer publicly. It is a noisy intermediate scale quantum device that implements a quantum evolution, the real thing. Maybe not fully unitary yet, but who cares? Now, I want to talk about this, the real thing. Okay? And I also, well, those who know me, I can only talk about one thing, which is with multi-scale entanglement renormalization ansatz. It's been now, you know, more than 10 years of the same stuff, which is a tensor network. It's an efficient data structure to simulate that we use to simulate quantum systems on a classical computer. So wait, this is quantum evolution. I want to talk about something that is for a classical computer. So did I just get confused again and I'm mixing terms? Well, actually not this time. I think I know what I'm saying. So I want to talk about how to implement some structure which is supposed to be the basis for classical simulations. Okay? But I want to really implement it as a quantum evolution. Okay? So that's what I want to tell you in 10 minutes. So Meta is a tensor network. We have this wave function. We use Meta to efficiently represent wave functions. So what's the problem with a wave function of n qubits? As you know, it takes exponentially or 2 to the n complex parameters to specify the wave function of n qubits, and that's a big problem. Our computers cannot deal with such large number of parameters, so we have an inefficient representation. And what Meta and other tensor networks do for us is that it proposes to write these 2 to the n parameters that we don't know how to fit in our computer in terms of just order n parameters, which we know how to fit in our computer. So in particular, what we do is we look at all these exponentially many parameters and we try to write them as the product of small tensors that are multiplied together, okay? This is a network of small tensors. Each circle here represents a tensor or a 2-qubit gate or something that depends on a small number of parameters, and we put them together in some particular way, and collectively they produce these 2 to the n complex parameters, but we only need to store order n. Okay, so we have an efficient description. So that's great. We can efficiently simulate quantum computers with a classical computer. Well, that would be fantastic, or maybe not so for the industry but of quantum computers. But the point is that we cannot do this always. So this replacement or this ability to represent a 2 to the n complex parameters for the wave function of n qubits using a small number of parameters only works when the wave function that we want to describe is weakly or moderately entangled. Okay, so this is not something you can always do. This is something you can sometimes do. Okay, and Meta is an example of situation. Let me tell you an example of case where we can efficiently simulate our quantum computation. So it turns out that this is the tensor network for Meta, but it's just cosmetics to rewrite it as a quantum circuit. Okay, so in going from here to here, nothing essential happened, but in this case, we can think of this structure as the result of starting from a product state of n qubits, okay, and running downwards an evolution in time where these two qubits, initially in state 0,0, are entangled through a 2-qubit gate, and then the result is sent to join with another fresh qubit, and there is an entangling operation here, and so on. Okay, so there is an entangling evolution that takes this product state into some final entangled state, which is the mirror. Very good. So what I want to discuss briefly is that this quantum circuit that I just described corresponds to an expanding universe. What do I mean by this? Well, let's just stretch it a little bit from top to bottom, and then let's start counting how many qubits are involved at any given time. So let's start at the top. The state that we have at the beginning is two unentangled qubits, which get entangled through a 2-qubit gate. Okay? And then what we do here, as we go down in this structure, is to bring in fresh qubits. So there are two entangled qubits, and we bring in two fresh qubits. So now we have 4 qubits, which we then entangle through a pattern of 2-qubit gates. And then we add fresh qubits. So we go from 4 to 8 qubits, which we again entangle. Okay, so now we have 8 entangled qubits, and we bring in 8 fresh qubits in state 0, and we entangle them again, so 16 qubits, 32 qubits, and so on. Okay, so what you can see is that we go from top to bottom, we have an increasing number of qubits that get entangled in some wave function or entangled state. Very good. And so the claim, and there is, it's an exaggeration, but not quite. In the end, there is some scientific value to this statement, is that we can use this structure to simulate an expanding universe, specifically in the early stages, in what's called the inflationary stage, where at each time step, the size of the universe is believed to have doubled. Okay? That's an accelerated growth of the size of the universe, and it has some implications. If you do that very fast, it turns out that the wave function, doesn't matter what you start from, the wave function quickly goes into some standard wave function, fixed point wave function. At least the local properties are essentially independent of the starting state, and you see that the temperature of your universe goes down by a lot. You also see that if you do that, fluctuations that you may have at some point get expanded with expansion, and this becomes the seed for formation of large-scale structures in our universe. So what I'm saying here is that this is a useful toy model for inflation, taking fully into account quantum effects, and this might become an interesting lab to study quantum cosmology. Very good. So how do we do this in practice? And that's a collaboration with Stefan Leckenauer at GoogleX and other people also at Google. So the idea is, this is the quantum computer that we have. We have each circle now is a qubit, and the interactions here, or what this bristle cone can do for you is you can have gates between nearest neighbor qubits. So the gates would, nearest neighbor means that there is a connection between the circles. Okay, so this qubit here has 4 nearest neighbors. And so the question is, how do we implement this evolution using this piece of hardware, quantum hardware? And so that's very simple. We start with a 2-qubit an entangled state that could be these 2 qubits here. Okay? So what I'm going to do, there is supposed to be periodic boundary conditions here. So we start with 2 qubits with periodic boundary conditions, then we'll have 4, 8. This is a growing circle of qubits. Okay? And so the idea is that by using the nearest neighbor gates that we have in this quantum computer, what we can do is we can start with 2 qubits in a product state and then use nearest neighbor gates to entangle them, so to implement this gate here. And then we can use swap gates, which are, again, nearest neighbor gates, to move the entangled qubits around and in this way include new fresh qubits into this circle. And then we can use, again, nearest neighbor gates to entangle the 4 qubits and swap gates to grow the circle, nearest neighbor gates to entangle the 4 qubits. And you can see the pattern here, okay? So we have a growing circle of qubits, which are being entangled with each other using only nearest neighbor gates. And in order to grow the circle of qubits, we just use swap gates, which are also nearest neighbor gates. So you can do this for a few, a number of times, and then you hit 32 and you have to stop. Actually, it's possible to have some pattern with a circle here with 64 qubits, but it's just too ugly. So I didn't want to draw it, okay? So there you have it. And now, of course, remember, this mirror we can efficiently simulate with a classical computer, so what would be the point of using the quantum computer? That's an extremely legitimate question. So the point is that in going from, say, 8 to 16 qubits, we have some swap gates that we apply to move the qubits around, but now we can decide whether we apply two layers of entangling gates on the 16 qubits, or maybe we can use four layers of entangling gates, or six layers. You can decide with a quantum computer how many nearest neighbor gates you want to apply, or rounds of nearest neighbor gates you want to apply on the 16 qubits. That's something that for the quantum computer is just some switch, okay? Now, if you try to classically simulate that evolution, we can classically simulate it when we just have this double layer of gates. We may be able to classically simulate it when we have four layers of gates, maybe also with six layers of gates, but the cost of the classical simulation grows exponentially. It turns out that it grows exponentially as we make these layers of entangling gates thicker and thicker, okay? The depth, so the computational, classical computational cost grows exponentially in the depth of these entangled circuits that involve the 16 spins or qubits. So the idea is that, yes, we can classically simulate simple versions of this construction, but then we quickly lose the ability to classically simulate this construction as we increase the number of entangling gates. Okay? Very good. So why should we implement this on BristolCon? I think time is up. First, it's nice to know explicitly how to build some interesting states on a quantum computer. In particular, the states that Meta produces have logarithmic scaling of entanglement, power law decay of correlations, and they correspond to CFT ground states of conformal field theories on the lattice. And what that means is that they are of interest in theory as well in relation to the ADS-CFT correspondence, which is a big thing in high-energy physics. But also, we can use that as an excuse to benchmark BristolCon, the idea being that, as I said, there is a regime in which we actually can classically simulate these wave functions, right? We have a state of a wave function of 32 qubits or 64 qubits that we can classically simulate. So we can check whether the quantum computer is doing what it should be doing by comparing what it's doing with the classical simulation. As I mentioned, the original motivation was to be able to have a toy model for quantum cosmology. But it turns out that in the meantime, there have been proposals for quantum convolutional neural networks, which precisely use the same structure that I just discussed. And so this could be used for quantum machine learning and identifying phases of quantum matter. And finally, it can also be the basis for hybrid classical quantum optimizations, where we, you know this story, or I mean, it's the standard description, where what we do is we want to run a classical simulation. We want to use Meta as an ansatz for a classical simulation, but we use the quantum computer to enhance the power of the classical simulation. Okay? Very good. So that's what I wanted to tell you. Thank you.